A few days before I recently left town, it felt like some kidney stones were on the move. I mailed the doc's office and asked for some special kidney stone medicine, since I only had a couple pills of this left, and the doc's office didn't respond for a couple of days. I suspect that was because the flu epidemic has been so bad throughout the nation and certainly in our state. In fact, by last count, I think 167 people in our state had died. By the time the doc's office replied, they sent an email. I was on my way about 30 minutes from Fort Wayne and a VA hospital. Because of how things had unfolded, the nurse suggested that I go to the hospital and request the medicine from the ER department. Well, when Teresa relayed that medicine to me, I had her log into the account to get that information from the doc's office. I looked at the clock. I was supposed to meet up with some people in Fort Wayne between 5 and 6:15, 6:15 being the very latest. Got to the ER, I checked in, and the clock said I had 73 minutes to get through the ER, have that medicine in hand, and then meet up with my friends. As I started to kind of run through the options and how that might play out, it didn't look like a very good scenario. Friday night, around supper time, there were some people ahead of me, and it didn't look like that was all going to work out. I thought, here are some basic options. Option number one, I can call my friends and say, look, I know 6:15 was going to be the absolute latest, that I promised to be there, and it's going to really run late after that time, and they probably understand things happen, but that really wasn't my first choice. I could pray to God and pray that it would all work out somehow. But would God be interested in something that seemingly small and that silly, that I needed to be with my friends by 6:15? Would he really care about something that significant? And then, as I thought about things, I thought, well, Brad, what about that sermon you just finished up? That sermon on faith that you preached this morning, wouldn't that apply to you, maybe in this set of circumstances? I can see the fire. I can see all the things that say, no, this isn't going to work. Do you want to practice what you preach? And then, as I thought about that a little bit more, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 came to mind. I didn't use that passage this morning, but that passage says, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. I thought, again, this seems like a small, this seems like an insignificant thing, but I'd put it in the anxiety category. Made the promise to be there by 6:15 at the latest, and I want to keep my word in that regard. So in light of that sermon which was preached this morning, I decided that you better practice what you preach. You better deal with this from the standpoint of faith. Now, the waves and the wind, to use Peter's experience that was mentioned this morning, or my image, the fire, all that was too clear. If you've ever gone to the emergency room, getting in and out in about an hour, that's not usually the way it goes. Getting in and out in about an hour on a Friday night is not really a very good plan. Now, I knew that the hospital, too, because of why I was there, kidney stones, they might say, we want to run a scan and make sure that you really need the medicine. Well, of course, if you're going to get a scan, like a CT scan at a hospital, you're definitely not going to get in and out in an hour. So there were plenty of reasons to believe that I was not going to make that 6:15 deadline. But again, I thought, I'm going to choose faith. Believe it or not, within 60 minutes, everything in the hospital had been completed. They decided a scan wasn't necessary. As things turned out, my doc's office had apparently made contact with them and said that I was on the way, and they suggested apparently that the hospital staff, they just write me a script and let me go on my way. So they came out and they said, this is what we're going to do, and I thought, great. But they said, there's one thing that you need to know. We don't have that medicine here. Oh. Great. 73 minutes is what I had. An hour has gone by. That means that I've got 13 minutes to get that medicine from some pharmacy in Fort Wayne, between where I am and where my friends are. Now, I don't know about you, but under the best circumstances, I rarely get a prescription filled in 13 minutes. But now it's getting a prescription filled in 13 minutes at a pharmacy that I'm not even sure where it might be on the way to my friend's house. And that would be a new pharmacy. So dark clouds once again gathered. It was, once again, before me a choice. Doubt, fear, or faith. So I'm thinking, I've chosen faith thus far. I'm going to choose faith again. Maybe in that 13-minute window as I'm headed to my friends to meet them by 6:15, there's going to be a pharmacy in some out-of-the-way spot. The guy's going to not be busy. He'll have some compassion on me, and everything is just going to fall together. And you think you're crazy. But anyway, that was my best plan. Began to continue to drive towards my friend's house. And you know, all kinds of businesses, restaurants and various shops, but not one pharmacy. And as I got further and further away from the businesses in town and the businesses that were in the rearview mirror, that haunting question came back. Would I continue to choose faith? Or would I say, well, God, I prayed, I asked and thought about it, and, you know, well, I should have expected this to fail anyway. No pharmacy. Made it by 6:15. I knew that if my friends did what they had done in the past, my prescription would not be filled that evening because they wanted to go back on the other side of town in Fort Wayne, large city, and trying to get everything together, it just wouldn't work. Waiting around for Saturday morning to come and let a pharmacy get opened and get all that taken care of was not a very attractive option based on the number of hours and the number of miles that I had to drive. To make a long story short, things did not go this year as they have in every other year. My friends, when I got there, they said, you know, we're going to do something different this year. We're going to have a restaurant which is just really around the corner from where we are. I said, by the way, is there a pharmacy close? Uh-huh. You think we could stop and drop off the prescription? Uh-huh. And we had plenty of time to eat, plenty of time to get that prescription filled, and it all worked out. Now, I was hesitant, and I still am hesitant, to bring all this information into a sermon and spend so much time on it, because it might sound like I'm bragging, or it might sound like I have a great deal of faith, and I'm saying, well, this is what God did for me. I don't want either of those two things to be in your mind or for you to walk away with either one of those conclusions or perceptions. I don't want to claim that God did this or that for me on this occasion or any other or boast or brag. But my purpose in laying all those details out is to offer a real-life account of something that happened and to suggest that that is one of the ways perhaps that God can work in the lives of his people. What you heard, all those details that I went through are also given to emphasize just how easy it is to see the flames that we talked about this morning. It's so easy to see the waves that Peter talked about, the wind. And I will tell you this in going through all those details. From the moment I was told to go to the hospital by the nurse, doubt started knocking on my door. It knocked and it kept knocking the whole way. Would God care about something that was insignificant? 6:15 was a self-imposed deadline. My friends might have said, well, hey, you need the medicine and it's okay and we'll work something else out. You don't even have to come. Would God care about that self-imposed deadline? There was doubt that was knocking on the door, getting in and out of an ER 30 minutes on a Friday night. That doesn't sound like a very good plan. And then after I get in and out within 60 minutes, picking up a prescription within a 13-minute window, driving mile after mile after mile and not seeing a single pharmacy. Fire, wind, waves. And then after you pull into the driveway where your friends are waiting for you, no medicine in hand. Are you going to keep faith? Now we've got an illustration before us. Let's now turn to our text. You may want to go back to the book of 2 Chronicles. I'm going to be reading from three chapters. 2 Chronicles 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Now there's a key verse. This is in 2 Chronicles 16. But before we get to the heart of the matter, we want to start back in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Now you may remember that Israel, for a period of time under Saul, David, and Solomon, it was a united nation. 40 years of united times under Saul, 40 years under David, 40 years under David, Saul, and Solomon, 40 years each. And then after that period, that 40-year period by Solomon, the kingdom splits. Israel enters into what is often referred to as the northern section, and then, of course, the southern section of Israel was the other half of the nation. And at one point, the king over the southern section, the bottom section of Israel, was a man named Asa. And Asa was, for the most part, a pretty good guy. He was someone who instituted some reforms. He was good as far as cleaning up the problem of idolatry. And as Asa tried to do what was right, God blessed him for his right works. One day, Asa came face to face with the flames. Asa saw the fire. He saw, to use the illustration from Peter's life, he saw the wind and he saw the waves. You see, as you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, there is this army from Ethiopia. And this Ethiopian army has a million people, a million soldiers in it. And they have 300 chariots. This is a big problem. They invade the land. Asa, as he's looking at this army, he sees the fire, he sees the wind, he sees the waves, so to speak, and he does what's right. He prays to God. This is in verses 11, 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Back there in verse 11, Asa, he cried unto Jehovah his God and said, Jehovah, there is none besides thee to help. Between the mighty and him that hath no strength, help us, O Jehovah our God, for we rely on thee, and in thy name we are come against this multitude. Yeah, a million people is certainly a great multitude. O Jehovah, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Verse 12. So Jehovah smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa has this great victory. A million people. They're all taken care of by God. And as he's headed back home, he finds that there is a prophet of God that comes to meet up with him. And information about this prophet of God is introduced in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, that next chapter. Let's see what we have in those first two verses. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Jehovah is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But he says, if you decide that you're going to forsake God, he will forsake you. Prophet makes it pretty clear. He says, Asa, I'm going to tell you how things are going to go. You can love God, you can serve God, you can honor God, you can have faith in God. And if you do all those things, it's going to work out great for you. Asa, if you go the other direction, it's not going to work out so swell. Now, when you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, there is a new development. You have Asa, he's still king over the southern section of Israel. And there's also this king over the northern section of Israel. The northern section of Israel, the king up there, he decides that he's going to engage in an invasion. The northern king decides he's going to come down, maybe because of Asa's prosperity, and he's going to invade Asa and maybe get some of his money. So as you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, this northern kingdom, he decides that he's going to build this fortified city, and he's going to cut off supplies there from the southern city of Jerusalem. Now, Asa sees this problem as well. Once again, he's in the house that's burning. All the walls are on fire. He can't get out, figuratively speaking, in any direction. It's like he's out there in the storm with Peter. Asa could have chosen to have faith in God. 2 Chronicles 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. But this time, as Asa looks at the wind, the waves, and the fire, this time Asa decides that he's going to pursue a much different course of action. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, we have some information about Asa. He decides that he's going to go to the royal treasury, and he's going to make a withdrawal. Asa takes out some money from the treasury, and he hires some Syrian mercenaries. He decides that he's going to get him some people that can go out there and fight off the people who are creating problems from the northern section of Israel. And he does that. And as you look at the text from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you find that his plan succeeds. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 5. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. So, the north has created this problem for Asa. He sees the flames. He decides that he's going to solve the problem himself. He gets the money. He pays for the troops. And everything seems to work out great. The threat is erased. God didn't overlook the lack of faith. God saw what this man did. In fact, as we continue to look at this chapter, we find that Asa receives a visit from another special man, a prophet of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7, this prophet of God comes to Asa and says, there's a problem. Yes, you got these people from the north off your back, but you didn't trust in God. You didn't have the right kind of faith. Verse 8 is where this prophet goes back and he reminds Asa of what had happened before. He said, do you remember the million man problem you had? You remember that fire that you're in, so to speak? And God got those people off your back. God delivered you from that million man army. You should have remembered that. You should have, on this occasion, had faith as well, but you didn't do it. You decided that on this occasion, you were going to try to deliver yourself, work things out on your own, and not trust God. And that is a mistake. And that is the basis for what we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of Jehovah, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Have you ever searched for something? And not just search for something, but I mean, have you really searched for something? It's the kind of search where you say, we've been turning the house upside down for this item. That's what's described in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It's here the Bible says God searches for something. He searches the whole earth. It's like day after day, God, his eyes, figuratively speaking, they run through the whole earth. They're looking for a certain type of person. Well, who does God search for every day? Who's God looking for? God says, I'm looking for people to help. I'm looking for people where I can take my strength, my power, my ability, my greatness, and I can put that to use in their lives. God, that omnipotent God, the God who has all power, says, I want to use my help in the lives of some people. I want to help, I want to bless, I want to strengthen, I want to aid. I want to do great things in the lives of some people. If that's true, I'd like to be on that list, wouldn't you? I'd like to be on that list where God says, I want to help you every single day. Somebody says, well, I'd like to be on that list. What's required? 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us. God says, you need to have a perfect heart. Somebody says, well, that can't be me. I sin. Well, we all do. Romans 3:23. He's not talking about perfection. He's not talking about a flawless life. The perfect heart, though, describes the kind of individual who is fully committed to God. And part of that committed heart is to have that faith which says, God, I believe, I have faith, regardless of the circumstances. The clouds might be dark, everything might be saying no, but still, God, I believe. We can feel the flames, we can see the flames, we can feel the heat. The oxygen in that room may seem to be declining, spiritually speaking. We can see the waves, we can see everything that seems to stand against us. But God says, in spite of all that, faith and not fear. When the waves and the wind seem to be crashing against the boat, the wind is howling, Christ says, look to me and not the storm. If we can get into the habit of having that faith, God, I believe, every single time in our Christian life, it will revolutionize our Christian life. Learning to replace fear and doubt and worry with faith will change your Christian life in ways that you can't begin to imagine. Now, upon hearing this information, Asa, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, should have thanked the prophet of God. He could have said and should have said, oh, thank you very much. I've messed up. I know the importance of faith. I should have believed. I shouldn't have tried to take this matter into my own hands. I'm sorry. I repent. And how do we clean things up? That's not what he did. If you look at just the next verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 10, you find that Asa made a bad point or a bad choice. You find that he took that prophet of God who came and tried to correct him. He takes that prophet and puts him in jail, locks him up. That same verse says that Asa also imprisoned some other people. Now, as you continue to read through Asa and his life in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you find, if you go down just a little bit further, some more information about this guy. He reigned for 39 years, long time. And in many ways, Asa was a great man. He was a good man. But towards the end of his life, he develops a bad health problem. He develops a foot disease. And it's not just a little itch. He gets a serious foot problem. And in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, it says that this foot issue, whatever it was exceeding great. Now some, and I'd put myself in the list, I'd like to know what his foot problem was. But God chose not to emphasize the exact issue that he had. He wanted us to focus on something else. And let's see what that other item was. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. His disease was exceeding great. Yet, and here's the important part. Yet in his disease, he sought not Jehovah, but to the physicians. Asa went to the physicians, to the docs, instead of God. Now, verse 12 doesn't mean that it's wrong to go to the doctor. Verse 12 does not mean that it's wrong to go to the emergency room. But verse 12 does mean that Asa should have turned to God versus once again having faith in men. Forgetting to trust in God or failing to trust in God is perhaps one of the greatest human weaknesses and frailties. We can, as we look at the fire in our life or the winds and the storms, we can look at a matter and think, oh, that's too small, that's too insignificant. God wouldn't care about that. He does. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Or someone might say, this matter's too big for God. Really? Or someone else may say, I can't see a solution. And the assumption then seems to be, well, God can't either. That's not the God of the Bible. Maybe we've never really thought about faith in these terms. Or maybe we've just never been able to process it in this way. But the words from James should be indelibly stamped on our minds. In James 4 and verse 2, the text says, you don't have because you don't ask. And then this same writer, if you back up a few chapters, James chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, you don't receive because you don't ask in faith. You don't ask in faith. The Bible says in the clearest possible way, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, God shows himself strong. God says, my strength and my power, I have it, I'm ready to use it, I want to use it. But I'm only willing to use it for those who truly trust in me. God is searching the earth. His eyes, figuratively speaking, are roving around the world, day in and day out, searching for those who truly want to serve him and have faith in him. Are we turning up in God's searches, so to speak, day by day? Are we someone who, as we go through life and the various things come up, we say, God, I'm going to put this in the faith category. I believe that you can help, and that's where my expectation is. I want to be on that list in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Do you? Do you? We're entitled to be on that list if we become a Christian. God's plan, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and we can stay in that list every single day if we'll have that faith in God. When the fire comes, and it will for each one of us, and that smoke thickens, and it feels like the oxygen is being sucked out of the room, we have that choice. Faith or doubt. Faith or fear. Faith or no faith. Now, upon hearing this, somebody might say, will that really work? You get it? They lack faith. It will really work. God's got the power. He's got the desire. And he's proven himself to be true day after day, time after time. The just shall live by faith. If you can begin to wrap your mind around those words, the just shall live day in and day out by faith, it will change your life forever as a Christian. Tonight, we hope that you're someone who is a Christian and who has been living in that way. And from this night forward, you'll continue to live that way, but only do that in a superior way, in a more enhanced way, as you go through life. Tonight, if you're not living as a Christian yet, God wants to work in your life to use his power. If you've not taken the final steps, confessing Christ before men, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, tonight you can take those steps. If you have taken those steps and the faith is just kind of, well, I'm going to mention some things to God, and if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, well, okay, I didn't have much faith anyway. Start thinking about faith. See the power and begin allowing God to work in your life. Can we help you strengthen or right your relationship with God? Those are the questions that we're asking you to answer and do that tonight as we stand and sing the selected song.